All right. Good morning, everybody. Let's just do a couple of things. First thing, everybody say this with me. Say no.
No.
One more time. No.
No.
Doesn't that feel good? It's kind of one of those empowering words that it just, you kind of like when you say it, you stand up a little straighter, stick your shoulders back, head up, right? It's a very empowering word, and we'll talk more about it here in a minute. Before we get into that, I've got to correct some things that Daniel said. Daniel is 9 years younger. I'm sorry, 9 days younger than I am. 9 days. And so it's funny. I get to text him, like, when I turn, you know, whatever age it is that's next. And I'm like, hey, it's not so bad being whatever age, 35 in my case. So thank you, Daniel, for pointing that out. I don't like birthdays particularly, and I especially don't. I took my birthday off of Facebook because I don't want the obligatory happy birthday from people that don't really care about you, but that's just my opinion. Doesn't bother me at all, right? So now that we cleared the air, and I want to say one more thing before we get started. I've got a friend with me today, Bryce. Everybody look at Bryce Fluker. Bryce, raise your hand. Hey, Bryce just got back from a deployment in the Middle East, multiple locations. I can't even tell you where. So, you know, we talk about this stuff on Memorial Day and Independence Day and all of the Veterans Day and things like that, but here's a real-life example of someone. We talk about, man, the military, you guys, y'all messed me up. Anyway, Christianity is so much about sacrifice. I mean, the premise of Christianity is that Jesus sacrificed his life for us in the military. That's what they do, right? Anyway, jeez. So everybody do this with me one more time. Say no.
No.
Today we're continuing our series called Not Your Average Joe. And I think kind of to give you some more of the context where we started last week and where we'll continue is that I think there's a desire in each and every one of us to be significant, right? To be meaningful in our lives and purposeful and to get to the end of our lives, however long that is. I told Shelly somewhat jokingly that my birthday was my half-life because, you know, when you live like an idiot. If you make it to 70, you're fortunate. And I feel like that would be my case, right? If I make it to 70, we're good. I will be very content with that. And Shelly's going to live to be 100, poor thing. But I think when we get to the end of our lives that we all want our life to have meant something, right? And we want to leave a legacy. We want to make a difference on the people that were around us that did life with us, on our children and our children's children, right? And I think in order to do that, we have to be more than just ordinary. We have to be more than just average. We have to be more than just the average Joe. And that's kind of what the series is about is man, I know that we've got it inside of us. Let's play to that. Let's pursue that. Let's go after that with everything that's in us, this desire, this thing that I believe God placed inside of each and every one of us, this desire for greater and meaningful and purposeful. And so let's go. Let's go do it. Let's go pursue it. Let's be about it. Let's not be so concerned with what people think that we don't pursue greater in our lives. And so today the title is Joe Said No. Joe said no. And I think if we want to be extraordinary, if we want to be more than just the average Joe, we have to be willing to say no to some things. And we're looking at the story or the character in the Old Testament, Joseph, and not to be confused, and this is not a slight at anyone. There's another Joseph in the New Testament who was married to Mary, who was the mother of Jesus. Not that Joseph. Joseph from the book of Genesis. And he was anything but your average Joe. He experienced kind of these incredible highs in his life. And he also had the darkest of days. Like, you want to talk about hurt and betrayal. Like, we get upset when somebody criticizes us. Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery. Get out of your pity party, sweetheart. Right? Like, he experienced some real adversity, some real trauma and drama and circumstances. And so when we throw ourselves a little pity party because somebody, you know, didn't do exactly what we wanted him to do. I mean, come on, man. Context, right? So if we want to be anything more than an average Joe, we have to be willing to say no to some things. And this may even mean saying no to good things at times. And I think this is important to distinguish. I think it's important to point this out because I think a lot of times when we think, man, you know, I've got this idea of who it is that I want to become. And in order to get there, well, I just have to avoid all the bad things. I got to say no to all the stupid things. I got to say no to all the things that would pull me down. But there are times in your life where good can be the enemy of great. Right? There are times in your life where even good things can keep you from becoming the greater person that you're trying to become. So kind of think in your own mind. You've probably done this unless you just don't think, right? Most of us, we think about who it is that we want to become. We think about, and maybe you take it to an extreme and you like picture yourself in 5 years. You picture yourself in 10 years and you've kind of got your hashtag goal, right? This is who I hope to become. This is who I'm aspiring to become. This is who I want to become. And these are the necessary steps I'm taking to become who it is that I want to become. Because if you just think about who it is that you want to become and you don't do anything, it's a pipe dream, right? But if you actually put some steps to it, you put some skin on it, then it's a possible reality for you. And so what we have to do is remember that sometimes we say no to bad things, but we also have to say no to good things at times in order to become our hashtag goal. So what is your goal as a person? Like, what do you want to look like? Who do you want to be in 5 years? Who do you want to be in 6 months, right? Let's not even be so distant with it. Like, who do we want to become? Who is it that we are trying to become? Who is it that you want to be spiritually? Who is it that you want to be relationally? Like in your marriages or your dating relationships or your friendships or your parenting? Good Lord, help us all. We got home, football season is kind of trickling into effect, so we had 7-on-7 yesterday, and I got home last night, and I'm being dead serious. I told my wife, I was like, your son is going to give me a heart attack before, in the next 2 years, I will have a heart attack and die. I'm not even going to make it close to 70. I'm not joking. I was on my way home last night, and I was like, my heart hurts. Like, I feel chest pains. I'm going to the doctor. Whew. So we want to be better in our parenting, and in order to do that, we have to say no to stress and drama and, right, those sorts of things. But that's just me. You guys wouldn't know anything about that because you're great parents. So to determine if you should say yes or no to something, this is kind of the filter that you should run it through, right? Does this help me become my hashtag goal? Does this help me become who it is that I want to become? Does this help me become the person spiritually that I'm trying to become, the person financially that I'm trying to become, the person relationally that I'm trying to become? Will this help me accomplish that? Right? Will this decision that I've got to make, this thing that I'm about to do, this conversation I'm about to get into, will this help me accomplish that? I heard another guy say it like this, and this is such a clever way of thinking about it. Think about somebody who is successful in whatever, you know, field or endeavor you're pursuing, right? And you ask yourself, what would a great blank do in a situation like this? What would a great parent do in a situation like this? What would a great Christian do in a situation like this? What would a great leader do in a situation like this? What would a great business person do in a situation like this? What would a great mom do in a situation like this, right? When you extract your emotions, you kind of step back from it and you detach the emotion and you make a very objective decision as opposed to a subjective decision where you got all your emotions and you're all fired up and you're all up in your feelings. I know you guys don't make decisions like that, but I do. I make visceral responses to situations, and dumb things happen when you do that. Don't do that. It's kind of like the parenting mantra, don't do as I do as I say, right? That never works. So when you are not crystal clear on a decision that you have to make, then ask yourself that question. What would a great leader do in this situation? What would a great parent do in this situation? And let's not complicate this more than it needs to be complicated, right? Like, Christianity is hard enough as it is. Life is hard enough as it is. So let's not ask these dumb questions questions for dumb questions, right? Like, let's not make this, if it's a clear and obvious no, don't do it, right? Don't try to be very justifying and critical and lawyer and legalistic and kind of make a way and manipulate what God wants you to do so that you can do what you want to do. Let's not do that. But when we have genuine questions about what it is that we're supposed to do, what our next step is, what decision we should make, then we can use that as kind of the context and the backdrop. So, here's our story. Old Joseph, like we said, old Joe, had been very successful, even through his adversity. So we talked about last week, his brothers sold him into slavery, and you thought you had a sibling rivalry, right? I don't know of anybody personally that it's gone to that level. But Joseph was sold into slavery, a guy named Potiphar bought Joseph to be a servant in his house. And Joe very well, he could have laid it down. He could have been like, this is ridiculous. I'm not going to try at life. I'm going to quit at life. This is too hard. And I'm just going to lay it down. But he didn't. He made the most of his circumstances. He made the most of his adversity. And most of us, we can't even go to work on Monday with a smile on our face because it's too hard. But Joseph didn't do that, did he? Right? Right? And so he was in these circumstances. He made the most of it. He didn't throw in the towel. He picked up his towel to serve, like we talked about last week. He made the most of it, was faithful in the small things. And he even saw promotion as a result of his devotion, again, like we talked about last week. But then he was faced with this decision, right? Do I say yes to this or do I say no to this? And it was a really difficult decision at that. And so we'll catch you up to speed on all of that. But he kind of had to ask himself the question, what would an average person do? And what would a person who's trying to live their life that honors and pleases God do? And I think when you ask yourself the right questions, you can get the right answers. Some people will tell you there's no such thing as a dumb question. I completely disagree. I think there are dumb questions. But I think if you ask the right questions, I think you can get the right answers. If you ask yourself the question, what decision would I make here that would be honoring to God? What would be the right decision in this regard, in this circumstance, in this season that honors God with the way that I'm living, the way that I'm treating people, the things that I'm talking about? Like, that's a right question, so you're going to get a right answer. And so he had to kind of make this choice. Was he going to choose pleasure or was he going to choose honoring God with his life? Here's the story. Genesis chapter 39, verses 6 through 9. We'll pick up right where we left off last week. It says this. So he left everything he owned. This is Potiphar leaving everything he owned in Joseph's charge. And with him there, he did not concern himself with anything except the food which he ate. Potiphar was living the life. Joseph was the man. He was taking care of everything. Everything was under control. And so Potiphar had turned everything over to the control of Joseph. And then it throws this in, and I think this is fascinating. It says, now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Joseph was a 10, right? That's my translation. I don't think you're going to find that on bookshelves anywhere. But it's kind of funny how it makes this transition. Like, Joseph's killing it. He's doing a great job. He's leading. He's being faithful. He's being consistent. And, oh, by the way, Joe was a stud. Verse 7, it says, it came about after these events that his master's wife, Potiphar's wife, looked with desire at Joseph. And she said, lie with me. She a hussy. This is like daytime soap opera television. Joseph, a servant in the house of Potiphar, is now being hit on, approached by Potiphar's wife, and she said, lie with me. Not lie like tell lies, but like let's lay down. Bow, chicka, bow, wow. Right? Verse 8, it says this, but he refused, and he said to his master's wife, behold, and this is kind of like, hey, check this out. Look at what's going on here. Behold, with me here, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house, and he has put all that he owns in my charge. There is no one greater in this house than I, and he has withheld nothing from me except for you, Dougal, because you are his wife. Seems obvious, right? Like, this is one of those times where when you kind of, you ask dumb questions. She was asking some dumb questions. And then he says this, and this is so huge. This is kind of the phrase I want to focus on for this passage. How then could I do this great evil and sin against God? How could I do this great evil and sin against God? And so Joseph, he's got the right perspective. He knows that this decision is either going to honor God or bring him some temporary pleasure, right? And he had to answer the question based off of those two outcomes. I'm either going to honor God with my life, and I'm not going to pursue this. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to go down that path. Or I'm going to do this, and I'm going to experience some temporary pleasure. And who knows what the end result of that is? Probably his head being served and rolling off of a platter. But he wasn't. This is what's crazy. So when we think about it kind of in terms of honor and pleasure, we get to see that Joseph's perspective was right. He was more concerned with the lasting than the temporary. He was more concerned with doing things that please God. That's where our understanding of what good is comes from, right? And it's hard sometimes because a lot of times we grow up maybe not with the greatest of instruction. Maybe you didn't have the best example of what a father is or a man is or a woman is or a mom is. But we have to understand that our understanding of what good is comes from God, not necessarily from people. And so Joseph, he made that really clear in his statement. How could I do this and dishonor you? How could I do this evil thing and go against what it is that you want and have for my life? He wasn't as concerned about what other people thought of his decision as he was concerned about what God thought about his decision, right? And if there's a message ever for American Christians, it's this, right? Like, because we get so caught up in what other people think about us. And we are so concerned about what this decision, what kind of response it's going to elicit from the people that are around us. And really the simple statement or response to that is, who cares? My son, all of the time that I can remember when his sister's trying to like talk about something, he's like, who cares, Ty? And what if we had that same response to what it was that people thought about us? Like, especially when we're trying to do the right thing and we're on the right path and now we're concerned with what people think about us. Who cares, Ty? Yeah. Joe wasn't concerned with what other people thought about his decision to say no. He was primarily and first and foremost concerned with what God thought about that decision. And the same thing is true for us. The first step into rising above mediocrity is placing little value, not no value. I mean, you got to balance this. There's wisdom in the multitude of counsel. There are times where you will seek counsel from other people and you will value their input. But ultimately, our input should come from God, and we value what it is that he tells us to do. And sometimes it's going to run contrary to popular opinion, right? What we're told to do, what we feel like we're supposed to do, is going to run contrary to popular opinion. Things like purity and tithing and going to church and serving in the church. People think you are bat nut crazy if you serve in the local church. They're like, you give up your time to serve in a church, and they think you're a nut job, and you should be classifiably, certifiably insane and placed into a home for nut jobs. Hey, if we had, we can make this a home for nut jobs, and we could all just stay here. It'd be awesome. And so further along in the story, you're like, it already is, man. It already is. Continuing on in the story, Genesis chapter 39, verses 10 through 12. And this is kind of, we're going to go through this whole process of the things that Potiphar's wife tried to get Joseph to do and his response. And I think through all of this, we'll get to see that Joe said no, right? And so as she spoke to Joseph day after day, he did not listen to her to lie beside her or be with her. She was like, Joseph, come lie with me. And he's like, I'm not tired. Right? She's like, Joseph, come get in bed with me. And he's like, I forgot to do the dishes. Right? Like, I mean, and here's the thing. She was very persistent. It says day after day, he did not listen to her. Think about that for a minute. And it says, now it happened one day that he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the household was there inside. She caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and went outside. So now you got Joseph running through the house naked because he said no. Right? He said no, and now he's running butt naked through the house. And this is what I think. We'll take away a couple of things from this. One, that's just a funny picture. But two, there are going to be times where you have to say no, and then you have to say no again. Oh, and by the way, you may have to say no again, and you might even have to say no one more time after that. And day after day, you may have to say no to some things. You may have to say no to some temptations. You may have to say no to some people who are trying to get you off your game, who are trying to get you off of the plan that God has for your life, just like Potiphar's wife was trying to mess him up, right? And he said no day after day. And so here's the thing. We just got to get good at saying the same thing. We need to be a little more creative in saying no, maybe. How many of you would be honest and say that saying no is kind of easy for you? You're good at it. That's good. I'm proud of you. How many of you are more like me and saying no is not an easy thing? I am not very good at saying no. And so maybe we just need to learn it like in another language for variation, right? Unfortunately, in Spanish, it doesn't really change things up. No is no, but we can learn German. Nine, right? Russian, I think nine. I mean, just have some fun with it. But we've got to get good at saying no over and over if we want to be more than the average Joe. I think also kind of a second takeaway from this passage, I believe that there will be times where a no won't suffice. You need to run away. You need to get away from the situation. You need to get out of the predicament, and you need to remove yourself from the equation, because sometimes a no won't suffice. I don't think at this point she was going to take no for an answer, right? So Joe removed himself from the situation, and I think sometimes that's okay for you to do. Sometimes you need to walk away from a group of friends that you've had for a really long time because they're not going anywhere with their life, and they're not doing anything, and they're just ungodly, and that's all they're concerned with. They're 40, and they're acting like they're 13 in junior high. And it's okay for you to remove yourself from that situation because you're actually trying to do something with your life. You're trying to be more than just the average Joe. You have to remove yourself specifically, it echoes this in the New Testament, to remove yourself from sexual temptation. It doesn't just say like, hey, walk away from sexual temptation. It doesn't just say, hey, resist against it, fight against it. It says to run from it, to flee from it. And in spite of that, we keep our phones in our hands 2 feet from our face 99% of the time. Right? Oh, y'all didn't like that one. That's okay. Moving right along. Genesis chapter 39, verses 13 through 19. This is, again, the story continuing. And Potiphar's wife, man, I need to come up with a name for her, because you got the villain in the story, the antagonist, and you don't like him. That's how I feel about her. So in verse 13, it says this: when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and had fled outside, she called to the men of her household and said to them. So she is crafty. I will give her that. Joe denied her, and now she's embarrassed, and she's like, okay, see what happens. See what had happened was. So she called to the men of her household and said to them, see, he has brought in a Hebrew to us to make sport of us. He came in to lie with me, and I screamed. Liar. When he heard that I raised my voice and screamed, he left his garment beside me and fled and went outside. So she left his garment beside her until Potiphar came home. And in verse 17, it says this: then she spoke to Potiphar these words, the Hebrew slave whom you brought to us came in to me to make sport of me. And as I raised my voice and screamed, he left his garment beside me and fled outside. Now when Potiphar heard these things, he heard the words of his wife, which she spoke to him, saying, this is what your slave did to me. His anger burned. Potiphar was hot. He was upset. And rightfully so, right? Like, he's only getting one side of the story, and unfortunately, it's not the true side of the story. So my takeaway from this particular passage is that no isn't always popular. No isn't always popular. When you say no, not everyone is going to agree with your decision to say no. In fact, I think more often than not, when you say yes, people will be good with that. When you say no, people will not be good with that. Because this is kind of what, let me just give you a lesson in sociology, right? Most people that you experience in life, they kind of don't want anything for you. They want something from you. And look, I'm not trying to be like, you know, Debbie Downer or anything, but that's just kind of the fact of the matter. A lot of people will use you, and they'll manipulate you, and they don't want anything for you. They want something from you. And so when you tell them no, they're probably going to get upset about it, and they don't want to be your friend anymore because you didn't do for them what they wanted you to do for them. And so what we need to know going into life and going into relationships and going into some of these experiences is that you've got to be comfortable enough to say no, even knowing the outcome may be, they're not going to like me after this. They're not going to want to be my friend after this. And so, again, it kind of comes back to whose opinion do you value more? Some lowlife who doesn't really want anything for you, or God who loves you with every ounce of his heart and wants everything for you? Which one do we place more value in? Which one do we place more stock in? Unfortunately, we place more stock in lowlifes who don't want anything for us. I'm just going to start making faces when I think something is, like, really good and you guys don't give me the response that I think that it should get. And so when you say no, not everyone's going to like it. Potiphar's wife didn't like that Joseph said no. She wasn't happy that she was denied by him, and she even stirred up some trouble for him while she was at it. And the same thing may happen to you. When you say no, not everyone's going to like it. Not everyone's going to be like, Good job. You're going somewhere with your life. Like they probably should be, right? They're going to be, oh, you idiot. You're just trying to, you know, be cool. Oh, holier than thou. Oh, look at you. Aren't you something special? These are kind of the responses that you'll elicit. And they're probably even going to be people who make a mockery of your audacity, right? They're like, oh, try hard. Brown noser. Right? These are the things that we condone in our society. At least they're doing something with their freaking lives. I was hoping for a longer clap so I could get a drink, but oh, too late. Stop. And there may even be people who try to cause you trouble because of your willingness to say no or your audacity to say no, just like Potiphar's wife caused trouble for Joseph. And if somebody's causing you trouble because you said no, you're in good company. And odds are you're not your average Joe. You're on the right path. You're doing something worthwhile with your life. The story finishes up here, or we'll finish up the story here. Genesis chapter 39, verses 20 and 21, it says this. So Joseph's master took him and put him into the jail. Potiphar threw him into jail, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in jail. And verse 21 says this. But the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him and gave him favor in sight of the chief jailer. And so the last point is this. A no now may translate to a yes later. A no now may translate to a yes later. Had Joseph just kind of went along with the path, the tide of society, and said yes to Potiphar's wife, who knows what his life would have ended up being like. Probably would have been murdered. Probably would have been killed. Potiphar would have came home. What is the, there's a police term for this, criminal term for this. It rage. What's it when you're just out of your mind and you kill somebody? There's another one. It's a crime of passion or something to that effect. That's how you just completely derail a whole experience, people. That's my fault. So I think you kind of got to realize that to say no now means that God may say yes to something down the road, just like he did in Joseph's life. And it finishes up that verse with, the Lord was with Joseph. And I don't know that Joseph would have had the Lord with him had he said yes to Potiphar's wife. It was exclusive. It was only because he said no that the Lord was with Joseph. And it wasn't necessarily these great circumstances, but it led to some greater things down the road. What we're willing to sacrifice now is usually directly connected to what it is that God will put in our path later. Think about that. What it is that we're willing to sacrifice now, what it is that we're willing to say no to now, is typically directly connected to what it is that God will put in our path later. If you're comfortable with conformity and mediocrity, that's probably all you're ever going to experience. You're only ever going to experience conformity and mediocrity. You're going to live a very average life that probably doesn't leave much of an impact or a legacy on your children's children. But if you choose to say no to some things now and God opens doors for you down the road, things that are significant and meaningful, then you get to experience, because of what you were willing to sacrifice over here, you get to experience God's blessing over here. The Lord was with Joseph because he said no. And I want us to kind of just start thinking about a few things. This is not a comprehensive list, but some things that'll help us get thinking in the right direction about things that we should say no to. The first one, self. Ooh. Anybody else ever have, you guys don't have any issues with that? Cool, good. Glad to be all alone on that one. That's the face. You're gonna experience times in your life where what you want stands in direct opposition for what God wants, or to what God wants in your life. And so you've got to decide, whose path am I going to follow? Mine, which is typically concocted in my very minuscule brain, right? Or the path and plan that God has for my life, the creator of the universe with omnipresence and omnipotence and knows everything and kind of forms everything and created everything. Am I going to follow that path, or am I going to take my path, which usually ends up in just silliness? So self, sometimes we've got to be willing to say no to ourselves. Sometimes you've got to be willing to say no to materialism. This is always popular in, you know, these Christian, American Christianity, because there's very little difference between, do you know, I don't know the statistics, they're embarrassing, of how little people give to organizations, to charity. And if you look at the numbers, it's like every year it goes down and down and down and down, and everybody's like, oh, I'm so generous. No, you're not. Cut the crap. Right? typically, culturally, we're not a generous people. And I think the only way that we do that, and you are called to be by God. You are called by God to be a generous person. And so sometimes in order to get to the place where you can be generous, you've got to say no to the Joneses. You've got to say no to the American ridiculous dream. We could do a whole series on this, but we're not going to do that. And so I'm going to spare you. But be willing to say no to some material things that so you can live a life of generosity. And you've heard the quote, you make a living by what you get. You make a life by what you give. And I think that should be the kind of the desire of our heart. It's like, man, I don't care how much I accumulate. I care about how much I give. I care about how many people I was able to help. I care about how many people in India have clean drinking water now because I gave to charity water. I care about how many orphans in Haiti have education and food and hope and a future because I sacrificed some and gave to Mission of Hope. You see what I'm saying? Or you can go get another boat and another truck and another house, and I hope that works out well for you. That was the face, too. The next one, and we're wrapping up, I promise. The next one is sexual temptation. Sometimes to live a life that honors God, you got to say no to some stuff. And at times, there's a time stamp on it. It's no for now. And other times, it's a timeless no. Like, pornography is never acceptable. So you always say no to that thing. And if you find yourself struggling, run away. Flee the temptation. Turn off your phone. Set it on fire. Grind it to powder. Put it in a blender. Whatever you got to do, man. Because this is what's so frustrating about this. Is that, like, we know these things, but we think we're the exception to the rule. When you buy into that, when you allow that to be part of your life, you're perpetuating this underbelly of society that uses and abuses and rapes girls, little girls, 12, 13, 14 years old, are stolen from their families, all because we spend billions of dollars as a society on pornography. Congratulations. Man, if you don't come back next week, it's usually not like this. Daniel got me all flustered talking about old and birthday and stuff, and I guess I'm too old to care now, so we're just going to say whatever needs to be said. But just stop. Stop. Run away from it. Don't let it be part of your life. Flee from it. Say no. And if you need help, talk to somebody. Don't try to fight it by yourself. Be man enough to say no, or woman enough to say no, because it's not gender exclusive. Sometimes you got to say no to pride. Sometimes you got to say no to comfort, which is really hard. Sometimes you have to say no to entertainment. I don't know very many successful people. I can't think of one off the top of my head that binge watches Netflix or consumes exorbitant amounts of social media. Just think about it for a second. Do you want to be average? Do what everybody else does. But if you want to be excellent, if you want to be great, if you want to be more than the average Joe, then don't do the things that everybody else is doing just because they're doing it. You don't have to have, like, you know, there's a thing on Snapchat we learned this week. I don't have Snapchat. I have Snapface. It's my own hybrid thing. That was Bill Belichickian. So anyway, there's a thing called a streak on Snapchat. And it's like where you, however many consecutive days that you send somebody a snap, and like they go for 400, 500 days. And it's like, that's the pride of your life. That's the pride of your life. That's what you're most excited about in your life. What is your life? If that's what you're most excited about in your life. Sometimes, last two. Sometimes you've got to say no to the expectations of other people. Sometimes you got to say no to what other people think you should do with your life. Sometimes you got to say no to the decision that other people think you should make. And the last one is sometimes you've got to say no to the fear of failure. Sometimes we have to be willing to say no to what's comfortable and safe so that we can say yes to these bigger things, these better things, even though we're afraid of what may happen, even though we don't have all of the answers and we don't have crystal clear clarity on what it's going to look like when we get there. But we say no to the small, mundane, mediocre things so that we can see the greater things that God has for us in our lives. And so kind of just the conclusion today is this. Be willing to say no. Let's practice together a few more times. On three, everybody say no. One, two, three. No. Now let's see if you're good with repetition. We're going to say no. No, no. Ready? No, no, no. That was pretty good. That's pretty good. Now do something about it in real life. Let me pray for us. God, thank you so much for everything that you do for us. God, you said no when you sent your son to the earth. You said no to the separation between us. You said no to the gap that we created because of our sin. And you sent Jesus, who said no to the norm. He said no to whatever it was that the expectations of other people were. And his only pursuit, his only focus, his only purpose was being who it was that you had created him to be, that you had purposed him to be in his time here on the earth. God, thank you for that. Thank you for being an example for us of what it means to say no, on focusing on things that actually matter, things that have lasting value, and just not getting so consumed with the temporary. God, I pray that each and every one of us, as unique as our circumstances are, God, and as different as our situations are, I pray that you would help us to figure out what it is that we should say no to and what it is that we should say yes to. God, that you would place an even greater desire in the hearts of every person in this room to not just be an average Joe, but to be people who are in hot pursuit of you, who love you, who understand that you have placed greatness inside of us, and it will follow you with all of our hearts for all of our days. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen.